Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Dale Jackson welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology. Speaking the truth in love is our purpose, and to give the lamp and light to all.
Yesterday in our study of Titus chapter 2, we were comparing a man and a woman agreeing to be married to a person receiving the salvation of the Lord. Let's continue with that subject today.
Now, here is our teacher and pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
The earth shall crumble.
I will plant my feet on this firm foundation, for the Bible stands.
When that young lady is asked by the man to marry her, and she accepts, she doesn't pay in that respect. She is a commitment of love. He's making a commitment of love, and yet she'll receive in that he provides. She'll receive in that he does things for her. He's a protector. And all that he does for her, because he loves her, and we're saying this is a good man. That's what some men are. But what we're saying, he's a good man. And so she receives, but he's not paying her those things. He's doing her those things for love. So he's not paying her to do that, to marry him. And she's not paying him to marry her. Although there are things that the husband and the wife both receive as a result of being married. Now, people will bring gifts, but that doesn't earn the marriage. That doesn't earn the right to be married. Okay? So they may bring gifts, but that means nothing. But when a person repents to receive Christ, it will be the grace of God that saves them, because of his work on the cross in paying for our sins, when the eternal almighty wrath of the Father was poured out upon his Son. And it says in Isaiah 53 that it pleased the Lord to bruise him. God's, the Father's, attitude about sin did not change, even when it was his only begotten, sinless Son of God, Jesus Christ, dying for us. He poured out all the wrath of all my sin, your sin, all sin for all time, for he became sin for all of us. You know, it's good that it didn't say he became sin for me. It says he became sin for us. That word us includes everybody. That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. How are we made the righteousness of God in him? That's where the might is. It's not an automatic thing that you're already made the righteousness of God of him, that you don't receive him, you don't do anything, you just made. No. When you receive him as your Lord and Savior, then we do find out that we are saved. So again, when we get saved, then we have his life. He became sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might become the sons of God. So we are adopted. We are his children. We are part of his. And by the way, Romans 8:23 tells us what adoption is. And a lot of people have all these big, long definitions for the word adoption. You know, if the Bible says what it means by word, that is what it means. Is that hard to understand? When the Bible says what it means by a word, then that's what it means. And you can have some great intellectuals out there that are trying to give it other definitions. But Romans 8:23 tells us that the redemption of the body for the saved person is redemption. The adoption is that redeeming of the body when it's changed and fashioned like unto his glorious body. That becomes it. So don't try to put something new in there that God didn't put in there, because then it fails to be the truth of God in total. Grace makes the payment in place of the sinner based on the Almighty, ongoing, forever ongoing, eternal love of God. And it is greater far than tongue or silver could ever afford. Grace then is giving us what we don't deserve, while mercy is not giving us what we do deserve. Now, do you get that? Grace is giving us what we don't deserve. He's giving us salvation. We don't deserve it. None of us deserve to be saved. His mercy is not giving us what we do deserve. We do deserve to go to hell, because that was the wages of sin. But because Jesus paid it all, neither of those things happen. Now, you'll note, verse 11 says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation." It's not man. In John chapter 1, verse 12 and 13, it really helps us understand that. "But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born." Now, pay close attention to this, which were born. This is what we talk about, being born again. Which were born, not of blood. No, you weren't born a Christian because your parents were Christians. If your parents are saved, that doesn't mean you're saved. "Which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh." Okay, you worked for it. Oh, you just did all this thing, and just by hard determination, you earned it. "Nor the will of man." Man with all these little cleverly designed outlines and things to do. And if you do this and do this and do that, then hey, you'll go in, you know. And they have all these things, little platitudes they say that mean absolutely nothing. No. He says, "But as many as received him." When you're receiving him, you're receiving him as your Lord as well as your Savior. "But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become sons of God, even to them that believe," rely on, trust his name. That's what believe is. Relying on, trusting, giving yourself totally into his grasp, his grip, his way, his will. "But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." His name speaks of his person. He's God. God cannot lie, we read in Hebrews. He's never lied. He's never sinned. He's never done evil. Jesus was the sinless Son of God. So when you think about it, he is omnipotent. He is all-powerful. Now, he knew in his, not only his omnipotence of being all-powerful, but also his omniscience of being all-knowing, that man, with a free will, he knew what he might do if tempted. See, God did not make us robots. We were made in the image of God. The Bible tells us very clearly in John chapter 4, verse 23 and 24, that God is a spirit. They that worship him in spirit and in truth, but God is a spirit. When God breathed into his nostrils, remember that in Genesis chapter 2, he had formed man of the dust of the ground? But it doesn't tell us man is up walking around, talking, having conversation. No. But when he says, "And then God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, man became a living soul." To that point, man's body was dead. Even the soul, I mean, there's no life in that body and there's no life in that soul until he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. You know, breath is associated with spirit. And so, when he breathed into Adam a spirit, and that spirit is in the image of God, has a free will. God is a spirit. But he gives us a body. One day, if you're saved, your body will be fashioned like unto his glorious body. So, when we think about that, he didn't create us to be robots. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, according as he had chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. Now, you see that? Before the foundation of the world. Way back there. So before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. That's why when you get saved, you are entering into a relationship with him, that his spirit is now living in you. His spirit is going to dwell in you. But that is why when you get saved as well, that you may all of a sudden be convicted about doing something that you were never convicted about before. We had a young lady in our church. She got saved that Sunday morning. At Sunday night, she got baptized. She had metal through her face. She had tattoos. She was what you think of looking like that some people would on the street. I mean, it's not one young lady. It's had others too. And you'd think, wow, man. You know, she got saved, but you know what the first thing she did, because she remained faithful to church, she got rid of all that metal on her face. All of a sudden, she was wearing a dress to church, not dressed the way she came when she first came in the church. And things started happening in her life. Now, she should have gotten a dress on. She should have gotten those things out of her face and all those things that would say, I'm relevant to the world instead of to Christ. She did that. Okay, what I'm saying is that the Holy Spirit, because she comes in one Sunday and she's saved and she's changed. To this day, she's still going for the Lord. And what I'm saying is that when the Lord changes you, he changed you. But also, the Lord gives you his Holy Spirit when you get saved, and he will convict you. When did his shed blood take place that was shed for your sin, for my sin, for our soul? Well, of course, it took place 2,000 years ago. When was it applied to our account? If it took place 2,000 years ago, when was it applied to our account? Well, there's a mercy seat in heaven that has the blood upon it, the blood that was shed of Jesus Christ, where he placed that blood at the mercy seat to show the penalty was paid in full for all sin for all time, but it must be received. And so therefore, when I receive Christ, that blood is also applied to my account. And that's the same way it would be for you. Oh, mercy there was great, and grace was free. Wow. And so, that's the mercy seat in heaven. Now, when did election take place?
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name and mailing address, and include the radio station by which you are listening and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us by our website and freely download the sermons by clicking on the sermon library. That site is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address of Lamp and Light Broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, OCALA, Florida, 34471. And our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Dale Jackson, saying, may God's peace be with all who are in Christ Jesus.
My feet on his firm foundation, for the Bible stands. I will plant my feet on his firm foundation, for the Bible stands.